You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline as we get ready to preview the Browns and the Panthers from the Carolina perspective as well. And we're going to go, like I said, on the OBM hotline and bring in the only man who's ever been the color analyst for the Carolina Panthers since their inception, Jim Scholes. Welcome to the show, Jim. And how's things looking for these Panthers? 5-8-1, still in the playoff hunt. And what's going on at the quarterback position?
Well, it looks like Cam Newton will play. He didn't play last week, of course, after that car accident. And very similar injury that, in terms of the actual injury itself, to what Tony Romo of the Cowboys had. And like Tony Romo, missing one game. And Cam officially listed as probable for this game. He's taken the majority of the reps in practice, so he's going to play. And the Panthers are playing better football. You know, they've only won 5 games, but they've won the last 2 in a row. So they seem to be playing their best football right now.
Jim, I know Ron Rivera was under fire after a very slow start last year. Of course, finished the season very well. Is there any kind of rumblings out there now that Ron Rivera's job is kind of in jeopardy moving forward through this tough football season?
No, I don't think so. Even in this day and age of instant results, they were 12-4 last year, won a division title last year. And I think people look at the big picture and follow the team and see, you know, when you lose Greg Hardy, who had 15 quarterback sacks last year, to basically in-school suspension, if you will, all year long, and no Steve Smith, Jordan Gross retiring at left tackle. This was a team that, you know, personnel-wise, he was a little handcuffed with what they had and in a bit of a transition there. So I think everybody, when you go 5-8-1, has some hand in the blame, but not to the point where the head coach will get fired now.
Do you think your backer, Luke Kuechly, being as good as he is, the type of energy, talk about the leadership that that guy brings with his kind of tenacious play where he's able to fly around the field and make plays, make tackles. Talk about his leadership ability and what he means to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, he's amazing. Ohio native, of course, from Cincinnati. Yep. And he's, he's the guy, all 32 teams would like to have a Luke Kuechly, because as good of a football player he is, he's that good of a guy off the field and in the locker room and a good teammate. I think gosh darn might be the harshest words he's ever uttered in his life. And he walks out of Boston College, where he led the nation in tackles 2 years in a row, and leads the NFL in tackles as a young football player. So he's good. I mean, I think he's this generation's great linebacker. That next line of, you know, Mike Singletary, you think of Urlacher, guys like that. I think you put Luke Kuechly in that kind of category.
This Carolina team has seemed to get a boost on the ground when they kind of turn the keys over to Jonathan Stewart. Looks like D'Angelo won't play again. And Stewart's been known for this, finishing season strong when he's finally healthy. How's he been the last 3 weeks? I know he had the big game with Buck 55.
Yeah, you'll see. He runs hard is his thing. I think it sometimes leads to injuries. It led to a fumble in the last game, which could have been really devastating, as they only won by 2 points. So sometimes his biggest mistake is he tries too hard instead of just taking what the play has. But yeah, you're right. Keeping him healthy, this guy ran for 1,100 yards a couple of years ago, as did D'Angelo Williams in that same season. But both he and D'Angelo have been battling injuries the last couple of years. It's kind of rotating which one's healthy on a particular week or a particular month, and it's been Jonathan's turn lately. And when he is healthy, he is very good.
Jim, talk about how happy and excited I'm sure Cam Newton and Ron Rivera have been with the play of Kelvin Benjamin, getting a receiver that late in the first round, and how productive he's been for you guys all year.
Yeah, what a great receiver draft it was, and to get him 28th, I think he's, you know, right up there with the guys that were taken ahead of him. And what he brings and what they wanted is what they got, a big guy, 6'5", but athletic. So when you think he's got a big wingspan on top of being 6'5", he can jump. You just have to get it somewhere near his side of the field, and he can at least grab it. And that's what they wanted from Kelvin Benjamin. They envisioned a Plaxico Burress kind of player when they drafted him late in the first round. And that's a good target for Cam Newton, because Cam's 6'5", he's got a big target there. And kind of like when you had Dave Logan back in the days, you kind of throw it in the corner of the end zone for a jump ball, and he can go up and get it. That's what he brings, is that kind of basketball athleticism.
Talk about the other side, going down there to a little bit bigger of a guy with Greg Olsen. Talk about what he's been able to do for Carolina. Not far from 1,000 yards and touchdowns. And if you look at his career statistics, I mean, the guy's had a very, very solid career for the amount of time he's been in it.
Yeah, he's just underrated. If he played in a bigger market, he would be viewed like Rob Gronkowski and guys like that. He's every bit as good As you mentioned, he's at 960 yards, 81 catches. So he's broken all the Panthers' single-season tight end records. He'll easily go over 1,000 yards and has not ever been to a Pro Bowl. So we'll see how the voting and all that turns out this year. But, I mean, to us, he's one of the top two or three in the league. I think he's having a better season than Jimmy Graham is this year. But he's just he's reliable and he runs good routes. He does all the things you're supposed to do. He blocks. I mean, he's just the consummate tight end and one of the best in the league.
And that duo could be the first duo over 1,000 since 99 for the Panthers. When you look at this game against the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel obviously struggled in his debut. What do you think the Panthers have to do to win this game?
You know, I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, we're not taking anybody lightly at 5-8-1. It's funny, we're battling for a division title and you're 7-7 and you're in last place. It's just the way the chips fell this year. But, you know, I think what they see is the body of work of Johnny Manziel that, you know, he does have that electricity and the ability to get out and run. And I kind of like what the Bengals do with that kind of mush rush thing where you kind of lay back in a zone and don't send everybody necessarily, just try to blitz and scare them. And the Panthers are pretty smart. I mean, you mentioned linebackers, not only Luke Kuechly, but Thomas Davis. I mean, these guys are not only just ferocious hitters, they're smart football players. So they'll play their keys and do the right thing. And really in our turnaround, not only winning the last two games, they played very well on defense the 2 weeks prior to that. You know, it's kind of come together collectively as a group. It took half a season, but really the key to our turnaround and being competitive is that the defense has come around. We're playing pretty sound on that side of the ball right now.
Jim, how was the, again, you referenced it just slightly there, but how has the morale been, the ups and downs of the year, you know, giving up 31 points in losses on average, but yet giving up only 14. So it's been a very up and down year. How has the morale been, and how has Ron Rivera motivated that football team to continue to play themselves into the playoff race that they are stuck in the middle of now?
Yeah, you know, and it's something of an organizational philosophy, and we've certainly in the past had our share of knuckleheads, but you know, it's a good locker room. It's good guys. They're veteran, mature guys. There's not a lot of cowboys there. So when things go south, as they do for all teams at some point, except for maybe the Packers and the Patriots, I don't know. But this team seems to pull together. It doesn't pull apart. It's not finger pointing. What did happen? They did send out some messages. You know, Anton Kaysen was a starter at cornerback that they brought in this year. He got released. Charles Godfrey was here 7 years. As a safety, he got released in season. You know, those kind of messages are sent as, in your case, Billy Cundiff gets kicked and you bring in Garrett Hartley. So that sends the message to the locker room, like, this is a business and your jobs are on the line and you may not necessarily make it through the season if you're not performing. You know, no hard feelings, nothing personal, but we're, you know, our jobs are on the line, all of us, we have to win. So it's very professional and we've not had, you know, backbiting and finger pointing, and it's been a good locker room all year.
What's a guy like Jericho Cotchery brought to that team? You know, we look at the stats, and it really seems like the passes go to Benjamin or Olsen, but he's been a solid presence, solid veteran. Is he somebody who the team relies on, and what has he meant to this offense?
A lot of the things you just said, that veteran influence 10 years in the league, and he helps younger players like a Philly Brown who played at Ohio State. Helps them get a little bit better. We had two of those guys in Jason Avant, and that was another, you know, midseason thing where they let Jason Avant go to look at Philly Brown a little bit more because his skill set kind of duplicated him. But Jericho is a real good leadership locker room guy. Played in Pittsburgh, played with the New York Jets when they were better, and doesn't have that ego. Isn't the kind of guy who's going to demand the football. He's fine being the second or third receiving option.
What has been the biggest difference in the defense from last year to this year? Because last year, Carolina absolutely suffocating near the top of the league in every category. This year, not as much.
You know, the biggest thing missing is Greg Hardy, and we completely changed out the secondary. It was kind of a salary cap thing where, you know, Pittsburgh offers our safety, Mike Mitchell, 5 years, $25 million. Well, Mitchell's a fine player, but he's not $25 million good. So now you got to go out and find guys like Thomas Dekou and Roman Harper and bring them in. So we've not been as good back there with some of those kind of moves. You know, same thing, Captain Munerlin. They would have liked to have kept him. He's a Minnesota Viking because, again, the salary cap. They got to, you know, make money elsewhere. And then, again, you had 60 sacks last year, which led the league. 15 of those were by Greg Hardy,
sure,
who didn't play this year. And so when you don't have that complimentary bookend to Charles Johnson, made Charles Johnson better on one end, Hardy, how are you going to keep them both off the quarterback? When you lose one half of that, that's when it becomes difficult because now you can double team on one side, and all of a sudden our defensive tackles have not had as big of a presence either. So if you take off a really big-time talent, it does have a domino effect. So I can't put it all in the Greg Hardy thing, but that's been a big piece of it, I think.
Jim, thanks so much for the insights on the Carolina Panthers, and we'll see you in Charlotte on Sunday.
right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. That was joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Jim Scoes, the Panthers color analyst, bringing it down from the Carolina perspective. When we come back, we're going to continue. Call Your Shot Friday. The Kid in studio with us here for the second hour. We'll continue to dissect the Browns and the Panthers, what they've got to do to get off the schneid and get a W this Sunday in the Queen City.